reliability work, we often are concerned with data that tells us the time to failure or cycles to failure or something similar. Yet data comes to us in all kinds of different ways, and some of it is in different natures and contains different amounts of information. So let's take a look at the different types of data. But it reminds me of when I really first heard this term, speak with data, was a general manager of a factory, it's a heating cable manufacturing plant that I worked in. And the general manager of that division of the organization would often say, speak with data. And so if you came to him with a proposal, or if I wanted to change part of our process, or I needed new equipment or whatever, his name was Huss. Huss would say, well, where's the data? Where's the information that tells me that this makes sense? Now, the organization had a very strong bias towards doing experiments and having everything from control charts to design of experiments were a day-to-day process. So we were gathering data in many, many, many different ways in different areas. But we started to learn that some data had more value than other data. So let's take a look at some of the definitions, and this should be a review. I believe we talked about it in one of the earlier lessons. But attribute data is discrete. It is the number of these little, I think they're candy balls or maybe beads of some sort, but it's the count, how many and how often does somebody arrive or how many warranty claims did you have this month? But it also can be what color, so or what kind, what size, what the big, little, or small kind of thing. But attribute data tends to give us things like pass-fail or red, yellow, green, or there were six blemishes on the door panel. And in some cases, it's the only kind of information that we can gather about what we're looking for, say the number of colored beads in this picture, in the number that are white or blue or green, and so on. But in other cases, it doesn't have as much information as we would really like. So if we wanted to say that all of the blue beads here represented failures from our process, that may be all we can get because it's the type of data that classifies a pass and a fail is the color. Now, if it happened to be time to failure, then we would then be talking about variables data. So it's the length, the height, the volume, how far. And I think I mentioned it previously, is one way to separate these two is that if you cut a value of a variable's data in half, it still makes sense. So if something is 2 meters tall and I cut it in half, it's 1 meter tall, that still has a physical meaning. Where if I have a red bead and I cut it in half, it's still red. Half of red doesn't make much sense in that regard. So variables data is what at least I have a bias towards getting, is the time to failure information, because it gives us a much richer picture of whether something is going to fail at a particular time or not, as opposed to just having a set point and saying how many have survived 1 year versus how many did not. And we could gather the attributes data and just do counts. But I think it's a much richer set of information if we know how long the items have been operating before they failed. So if I had 3 failures this month, had those 3 units been operating just in a few days since installation when they failed? Or those 3 units we got back had been operating for 10 years and they wore out? And it'd be completely different kind of information contained in using a variables approach than in an attribute approach. But there's also another whole style of data, and it's location data. And that's generally, we think of it as a map or a set of coordinates of some sort. So it's not quite variables data, and it's not quite attribute data. It certainly could be converted to either one of those things if with a little creativity. But let me give you a quick example of one type of location data that is particularly useful when we're dealing with reliability work. So let's say I've got a circuit board, and I luckily have the green color here for a green circuit board. And let's see if I can find my black pen. And let's say there's a particular ASIC right there that has a lot of heat, and there's a fan here that it's blowing right over the top of that ASIC in order to keep it cool. Now, one of the downsides to that is that we may start to see failures of components that are overheating. And so if we take a map and we plot the number of failures, and say the size of the sphere is the number of failures in that particular area, then we could get a mapping of where the failures occur. Now, it just might work out that this fan is blowing the heat from that ASIC downstream on our circuit board, and maybe those components in those areas are sensitive to that increase in temperature that they see versus the ambient that the rest of the board sees, and increases their particular failure rate. Now, this is one way to use a Meisel's chart when you've got a set of data that doesn't seem connected in any way. The time to failure information is given as some pattern that doesn't make much sense. We're getting failures at different parts and different components that don't seem related to each other in other ways. So simply mapping it onto your either an image or a drawing of your boards or your system may give you clues as to what kinds of things to look for. And in this case, we didn't know that it was heat related. We saw these components failing and started plotting them, and then noticed that they were downstream in a heat flow and started looking into that in more detail. So by changing the nature of the airflow and how it was distributed across the board, it lowered the temperature on these components areas that were failing while maintaining the cooling on the ASIC that required it. And so there's, without mapping it, it was very difficult to find this kind of a problem. And so it's something that we would call a Meisel's chart. So the little red dots across your product that gives you the information that you may be interested in knowing about. So this is more of a rhetorical question. And it's one of those things where I've almost have never found any value to converting variables data, say in particular time to failure, into an attribute, into just pass fail. If I can get a time to failure distribution, I can tell you whether it's going to pass fail with some probability at various points in time. Whereas if I do nothing but the attribute, is how many survived 1 year, then I have only information for that point in time. It doesn't really tell me much about, say, the first month or what happens in 2 years. Where if I get time to failure information, I have a information I can use then in order to understand the life distribution, which in my opinion has a whole lot more value than just knowing a simple count at a specific point in time. But that's just one example. In general, variables data is way more valuable for whatever we're trying to do than attributes data. In the next section, we'll take a look at another way we classify data, and that's the sensoring of the data. And we'll take a look at that in a little bit more detail.